So this workshop is, in all reality, it's a little difficult for me to talk about because I wrote the curriculum. It's my baby. So I kind of put it together. Myself and another guy who's on staff here, it's about 50-50 between us. Maybe it doesn't matter the exact percentages. But when I took over as the children's ministry pastor, I did children's ministry for 6 years, and then I've now done junior high for the last about 6 years as well. But when I stepped in, I felt like one of the things that we needed to kind of brush up on a little bit was our curriculum. And we're Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel teaches the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And so that was what our children's ministry was doing. And I came in, and the Sunday school teachers came up to me and they said, please, 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 please help. We have been teaching the book of Isaiah to fourth graders, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And if you know the book of Isaiah is four major themes. It's a lot of judgment. And there's some wonderful gospel, you know, it's the gospel in the Old Testament. So it's a wonderful book. It's a beautiful book. But man, for fourth graders, that's death by a thousand cuts. And so we sat down and we looked and we thought, is there a time and a place for fourth graders to get Isaiah maybe later on in their lives? And if we have kids for a limited amount of time, if we start out, let's say we have them from four-year-olds to fifth grade, we've got them for 7 years. What are the things that we want all of them to have over the course of that 7 years? And so we sat down and looked at really the scope and sequence first. What's the foundation that we want all of our kids who have come through our church to have underneath them? And is there time later on for them to get Jude? Yes, they can get Jude later on. Is there time later on for them to get Nahum? Absolutely. All scripture is God-breathed and useful. But is it more beneficial for a child going through Sunday school to get John chapter 3 four times than it is for them to get Isaiah chapter 11 once? I think yes, it is. That was sort of where we came to. And so we had this concept of building the foundation of their biblical basis. And that's where it all started. So I put this in front of you today as really just a free resource. This is not me making a plug that you should use our curriculum. This is not me saying that we have the best curriculum. This is not me saying our curriculum was going to work for your church. I think it works for our church because it was designed for our church. But I am going to let you know that it is completely free and is completely available online, and you don't have to pay, you don't have to do anything. I don't care if you take it and change it. I don't care if you take it and rewrite it. You can do whatever you want with it. I already got paid. I was working that day, right? I already got my wages. And the guys who wrote it, we just sat down, and myself and the other guy, and we said, this is just a resource. And we all had it. We had it. It's all online. We put it online so our Sunday school teachers could go and find it, and you know, it would be easily available for them. And what we wanted to have was a set 7-year curriculum that would build on itself every year and grow. So starting in 4-year-olds, going all the way to fifth grade, saying all of our 4-year-olds are going to get these things. And we're going to build on that in first grade and build on that in second grade and build on that in third grade to go all the way up through. Okay? Before we take a look at the curriculum, can I just say that you guys do an awesome job? I love Sunday school teachers. I love Sunday school ministry. Walking into a classroom and someone has handmade the garden and there's a little snake. I don't know if you can see the little snake. He's got googly eyes on him right down here, right? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I also know that 90% of our Sunday school teachers are not educators. They're not trained in education. They're accountants and they're firefighters and they're police officers and they're nurses. And they come in after a hard week and don't have a full week to sit and study and apply 8 hours of biblical lesson time and planning to their son. Now, some people do. We've got some wonderful retired people who spend all week like, oh, I know what I'm doing. And on Palm Sunday, their room is full of palms, right? But we also have people who are faithful, good, well-intentioned people who just have lives and kids and jobs. And so the curriculum was trying to be a balance of enough material for the person who wants to sit and study for 8 hours and put a lesson together, but also enough material for the person who only had 30 minutes that week to sit down and look through it and pray and be able to go in and still teach a Bible study. So that's where we begin. Our curriculum, yes? I certainly can. No problems. You're fine. I want you to be able to see. As we look through the curriculum, we thought, what are the things that we need to touch base on as we're going through our curriculum? And there's two basic sort of areas. There's obviously doctrinal areas. We need to teach about who God is, what God has done, and what is our response. That's our three, and if you look at our foundation logo, who is God, what has he done, what is my response? That's our three sort of main doctrinal points. And the course of our 7 years hits those three questions twice. So our four-year-old class is basically a who is God class. Our first and second grade is basically a what has God done class. And our third through fifth grade then goes back through those and looks at our response. So, and you'll see that as we kind of walk through it. Practically, we also are preparing kids for life inside and outside of the church. What do I mean we're preparing kids inside the church? If I have a kid who's in fifth grade, and our Sunday school goes up to fifth grade, they have to be ready to go into sixth grade and sit in either a junior high study, where they're going to be expected to sit, know where to open the Bible to, receive a verse-by-verse study through any book of the Bible, and participate in that level of class in junior high, sixth through eighth grade, or at Calvary Philly here, they are welcome to go in the sanctuary at that point. So we have kids from fifth grade and under. You know, we have classrooms designated for them. But then after fifth grade, if you're in sixth grade and you want to go in and listen to Pastor Joe teach Genesis, please, I am not offended as the junior high pastor that you would want to go and hear the senior pastor of the church teach the book of Genesis. Please do. But they need to be ready to sit and listen to the King James at that point, because he's teaching out of the King James. So we're preparing them in both directions to be able to sit through a church service and understand what a church service is. But also we're trying to instruct them in the foundational knowledge of who God is. So we have both of these tracks kind of working together as we go up through. Doctrinal things. I mean, you don't need me to tell you these kind of things, but we're looking at the nature and character of God. What it means that God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that he's Lord over all, and of course, many, many more things as well. What has God done? The foundational biblical story. If I have a child who's in junior high ministry, and I say, can you tell me the difference between the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah? We've done our job. We've done well. They can tell us, oh yes, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. That's difficult often for a junior higher, but we want to tell them the story of where not only the beginning and the creation, we're really good at telling the creation stories, right? The stories from book of Genesis and early Genesis, but also the whole story of God's people and where we fit in that story. God's unfailing faithfulness in light of disobedience and the story of redemption from promise to incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and return and glorification. And then what is our response? In junior high ministry, we have a discipleship ministry called LJ3, Pastor Gill, who taught the session this morning. It was his brainchild, and he is the master of naming things. He is the master. He has all the right names. They all rhyme, and he has all the alliteration, and he's the man. LJ3 stands for Learn Jesus, Love Jesus, Live for Jesus. And that, again, is sort of a overflow. I am of Gill Trusty in the book of Corinthians. They were of Paul and of Peter and of Apollos. I'm of Gill. I was serving in junior high ministry under him. And so that idea of learning who God is helps you to understand and love him more. And then out of our love for him, we live for him. That made its way into our foundational sort of doctrine, our foundational curriculum here. So, things like, do we understand the gospel? Do we have a second grader who can sit down and talk about what it means to actually genuinely repent? Do they know more than Jesus lives in my heart? Can they express the gospel? How should we act towards God? How should we act towards our fellow believers and to those outside of the church? Practical things. The importance of the Word of God. Why we do the things that we do in church. Why do we worship? Why do we teach the Bible? Why do we pray? Why do we take communion? Why do we believe things the world disagrees with? Why do we believe things in our Sunday school class and teach creation when the world teaches that, no, it was a very, very different way? Are we preparing a student, like I said, for verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter teaching? Now, I say that because a four-year-old, and I'll get to this point in a minute, but a four-year-old is not really well-equipped for a verse-by-verse Bible study. A four-year-old can't read, for the most part. You get some four-year-olds who come into your four-year-old classroom, but they really aren't reading at that point. So to sit down and expect to do a verse-by-verse Bible study with a four-year-old, it's kind of an exercise in futility. And actually, I felt like sometimes we were setting up our teachers to fail. And so we don't do verse-by-verse teaching for our four-year-olds. We do story-by-story teachings. Or we might have even called it once upon a time chunk-by-chunk teachings, which is not as nice that way of saying it. But a fourth grader, now a fourth grader is reading, and a fourth grader can sit down and can read the Sermon on the Mount and say, I don't understand this. And you can walk them through what it means. The importance of reading the Bible for themselves, praying for themselves, fellowship amongst believers, all of these things should be in a curriculum that we teach in a Sunday school, not just Daniel on the Lion's Den, not just Noah's Ark. 7 years, 4-year-olds to fifth graders. What are the most important things I want them to receive? We talked a little bit about this already. I want them to have the foundational building blocks of a Bible study or of the biblical story. And then we can get to 1st and 2nd Kings later on. Like I said already, 4-year-olds and 4th graders, they need very, very different things. Paul said it like this. He said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. So even in the Bible, there is an expectation that as people grow, they develop and they require different things. So, again, this is our step-by-step 7-year kind of curriculum. Starting in 4-year-olds, building on that knowledge each year until we hopefully at the end of 5th grade have a fairly biblically literate student. We can walk through it, and I'm going to kind of switch between some of the basic stuff that we do in each grade and then actually show you it on our curriculum page, which is right here. On our website, if you go to kids.ccphilly.org, you can go right to the foundations curriculum right here. And like I said, all of our material is available for free. And like I said, you can do with it as you want. We have from 4-year-olds up through 3rd through 5th grade. The reason we break it down that way is because we do something called Children's Church for 3rd through 5th grade. The room right below us is called the CPAC. It fits about 300 people. And we do 3rd through 5th grade. And we do church because we're preparing them for church. So we have a full worship team. We have all the seats facing the same direction. We don't have tables and chairs where they're looking at each other. We have announcements. And we have prayer at the start of service. And then we teach a Bible study. And it's still Sunday school, so it's more interactive and there's questions and we're asking things and it's a lot more interactive than it would be in, say, a junior high service or an adult service. But that's part of our methodology for teaching kids what it is to be in a church service. So that's why we do 3rd through 5th grade. But the 3rd through 5th grade curriculum is really about 4 years worth of material. So online, we have at this point about 8 years worth of, if you did a Bible study 50 weeks out of the year, so that's saying two, like, you know, instead of 52, about 50, and then we have some holiday studies, one for Easter and one for Christmas as well. We also have our VBS curriculum. I think we have 8 years worth of VBS curriculum on here. That includes all the skits, that includes the lessons, that includes the everything. We have all of our sports devos. We have a basketball league and a soccer league that we do here. And we have years and years of sports curriculum. So it's shaped a little bit differently. It's a little bit smaller. After a game of soccer, our kids will all gather and they'll do a 10-minute devotional. And there's an on-the-field, off-the-field component to it. And it's kind of laid out more from a sports mindset. So all of that material is on there. And like I said, we have our Christmas and Easter lesson plans as well. So we can take a quick look. If I go to the third through... Oh, I was looking at fourth grade. I'm sorry. I'll go back. Four-year-olds. So our four-year-old curriculum. It starts off with... and you can find the kind of breakdown of the different studies here. So if you go ABCs of God, it will take out all of the other studies. If you go God wants me to, it'll give you those studies. If you go with the names of God, it'll go to those studies. And then you can select, and it just downloads from the PDF right there. So that's really nice, because then if your Sunday school teacher comes in and they have forgotten their study, they didn't bring their packet with them, they can bring it right up on their phone, and worst case scenario, they can read it off their phone and kind of go through it from there. Yeah, so the four-year-old one, and I'll at the end of the time we have, I'll walk through the actual packet and kind of give you an idea of how it's broken down. And there are some examples in the back which you are free to take. There's some samples in the back there that you can grab. So four-year-olds, we start with the ABCs of God. What did we say our things were? Who is God? What has God done? What is my response? So in four-year-olds, we're looking at who is God, the ABCs of God, and we look at just big ideas about who God is, big doctrinal ideas. God is almighty. God is faithful. P is for patient. Q is for quiet, I guess. Still small voice study. Anybody? All right, we're doing it. Q is a tough one. X is exalted. All right, we did it. We figured it out. All right. Like I said, you don't have to like them all. It's free. So we're looking at who God is. If I'm taking a four-year-old and I'm telling them, Jesus is real. Now, four-year-olds think concretely. They think concretely. They can't think abstract. They're not developed at that point. So we have concrete Bible studies where there are people, and you can say, who was in this study today? Where there are things that take place. What did Jesus do to the widow's son? The widow's son was dead, wasn't he? And Jesus went and he raised him from the dead, didn't he? And what did the widow say after that? They can look and they can say, oh, this happened, and then she said this. And then Jesus said this, and it's very concrete, it's very real, okay? So after the names of the ABCs of God, we do our names of God study, where we look at... a lot of just different things that Jesus calls himself through the scriptures. Some of the I am statements, like the bread of light, the light of the world, the true vine, but also Adonai, Jehovah Rapha, but just my refuge, you know, those sort of different things. We look at the Holy Spirit. And then we have a little section on what does God want me to do? So even in this, we still want to include some practical things, because James says, do not be hearers of the word only, but doers also. If you hear the word and don't do it, you're like a man who looks in the mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like. So we have some basic things. God wants me to love. God wants me to obey. God wants me to forgive. God wants me to pray. And that's very, very four-year-old kind of leveled material. As we move up, like I said, we go through the names of God, and then we move into first grade. So first and second grade. First grade is our big stories of the Old Testament. Oh, sorry, kindergarten and first grade. My mistake. Kindergarten is big stories of the Old Testament. So it is from Genesis through to, well, really... I'll have to look and see where the last story gets to. But it's really the big stories of the Old Testament. And then first grade is really big stories of the New Testament. We can take a look at those. So first grade is selected studies through the Gospels. And so now we're still not verse by verse, but we're getting closer to that. So we're in the Gospels, and we're going story by story through the Gospels, a little bit chronologically. Not perfectly chronologically, but pretty close. And like I said, moving closer to that sort of verse by verse study, moving through the Gospels and then through the book of Acts. So first grade, Old Testament, New Testament studies, kindergarten, Old Testament studies. And then when we get into second grade, so this is what God has done. When we get to second grade, we're now into what is our response. And so this is where we take a little bit of a left turn, and we do a little section called Bible Basics, where we actually look at how to read your Bible. What do the big numbers mean? What do the little numbers mean? How do we find a book of the Bible? If I need to find a book of the Bible, where can I turn? That's sort of the very basic kind of beginnings of it. You'll see there's a study called How to Use the Bible, where part of that is included. And as we go through the studies, there's also some practical things they can take away with them at the end of a day. In the four-year-olds, we do a monthly verse, Bible verse, that they're supposed to memorize for the month. And we have a laminated placemat with all of the 12 verses they can put at the dinner table, and we give them all to the kids. And when they come into four-year-olds, they all get a placemat. And then as we move up, we're starting to expect Bible verse memorization, and there's, you know, rewards and prizes for people who are memorizing Bible verses. In second grade, it is memorizing books of the Bible. So instead of doing a verse every week, we're memorizing the first five books, and then the second five books, and then the third five books, and we're slowly memorizing through the whole Bible, so that by the end of second grade, we should be able to give off all 66 books of the Bible, a good, useful skill for kids to have. So Bible Basics is the first half of the year, and then the second half of the year is what is the gospel? And we break down the gospel. What is sin? All have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Saved by grace, and then all the way through the end of that year. Now, one of the kind of key elements of any kind of education system, teachers will tell you, repetition, repetition, repetition. Kids need to hear it over and over and over again. I have had so many kids who, when I thought I had taught a really great Sunday school lesson, I've taught James 1, just the verse that I just used, right? Be hearers of the word, not doers only. I've spent a whole day talking about it. And then after class, kids are talking. And I go up to someone and I go, hey, where in the Bible does it say, be hearers of the word, not doers only? And they're like, I don't know, I've ever heard that before. So, repetition. Oh, yeah. So I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Be hearers of the, be doers of the word, not hearers only. I did say it opposite. But, yeah. They're like, oh, this is new information to me.
Yeah.
So repetition, repetition. But, and that's sort of what we do. So we've done those three topics, and now we repeat them third through fifth, but from a more advanced kind of level, a more mature level. So we start doing, again, back to who is God, and we look at who God is by looking at Jesus. And then we do a little section called the Faithful Promiser, where we look at the different things that God promised us in the Word, and we can learn a lot from those things. And then we go, oh, that's going to be a problem. I am computer literate.
You do it.
All right. here. And then we do a section on the life of David. When we get into year two, we do the Old Testament big stories, but we do them by going verse by verse through Hebrews 11. So now we're doing a verse by verse study where we are doing it very slowly, verse by verse, and we say, by faith, Abraham. Stop. Back to Genesis. By faith, Moses. Stop. Back to Exodus. Okay? And then, you know, sort of going right through Hebrews 11, through there. And then we go through not just the big stories or selected stories from the Gospels. Now we actually start going chapter by chapter through the Gospel of Luke. So it really is chapter by chapter, and it's sort of more a selected section out of that chapter. There's a couple where it's two in a row. Well, we didn't split the Sermon on the Mount into, we didn't force everyone to do the Sermon on the Mount in one study. That would be difficult. But it's here's the next chapter. Here's a big story out of this chapter, verse by verse through that. So if you guys know Luke, can have some very, very long chapters in it. We might not be covering the whole chapter, but we're going through it kind of portion by portion, section by section. And then year three, now again, we're preparing them for life inside and outside of the church. What is our response? So we go through verse by verse some of the practical books of the Bible. Book of James, very practical. The book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs, we have it written out in two different ways. We have it written out verse by verse. Proverbs is actually quite a difficult book to do verse by verse because the verses don't necessarily connect with each other. So we also have it split out thematically as well. So we have all of the verses on the tongue. We have the verses that are on honesty and dishonesty. Verses on gossip. Verses on friends or friendship. We have a few chapters on that. The verses on anger, the verses on greed versus generosity, right? So different sections or concepts in Proverbs that we've then kind of connected and brought together from the book. So whichever way you prefer to do it, you're able there. And so that's the curriculum. That's the walk through it from the beginning to the end. And now I can sort of, if you would like, we can take a look at the packets themselves and I can talk you through kind of the concept behind them. So we wrote it over the course of about 3.5-4 years. So it started out, it was just me, and on a week I was writing the 4-year-olds, the second grade, and the 3rd through 5th grade studies, which was a lot. And then the guy who was with me, Chris, he came on board and started serving in children's ministry as well. And he started writing one of those, so I was writing 2 studies a week instead of 3. And then effectively what we had was 4-year-olds and first grade for the first couple of years were all doing the 4-year-old studies. And then second grade was doing second grade studies and 3rd through 5th was doing those studies. And then as I wrote more and we built them out, so it was sort of a long time to build out the curriculum, but when we had it in place, then we were able to have it kind of laid out there. Yep. Yes. Yep. So now it's pretty set, and it doesn't exactly match up. You know, it'll be this passage every October. You know, 3rd week in October will be the same study. It's about there, and there's actually more. They've added a lot more since I even stepped out of the children's ministry. So even though it's a 7-year curriculum, there's probably 8 or 9 years worth of studies in there at this point. Because over time, there's some that you think, this one was great, we want to keep this one. This one wasn't as good. Maybe this was a bit too conceptual for the little kids. And so it's kind of been tweaked and worked over the years as well.
Okay, so I have another complicated question. Some of my classrooms, I might have, because I've got such few kids, like we have Saturday night service, and sometimes we'll have 10 kids, sometimes we have 2. I mean, it's very varied.
Yep.
And we might have to throw
everybody
first to fifth grade,
class.
Everybody in one class.
Sure.
That's what we have to do.
So
What do you suggest you do in a situation like that? I'm trying to figure it out. What I usually do is I take one person and I put them with the two babies, and, and we kind of separate it out. But it is kind of hard to do this.
Yeah, so there's three major brothers. There's a couple major breakpoints in children's ministry. Mm-hmm. There is not potty trained.
Yeah.
Then there's potty trained but can't read.
Yeah.
And then there's potty trained and can read. And so those are sort of the three areas that I would break down.
That you would in that situation.
Yeah. So if I was going to be putting kids into groups together, if I've got kids who can go to the bathroom by themselves, but they can't read, I would be doing four-year-old kindergarten studies with them. And then if I've got kids who can read, then I'm looking at second grade studies and up. So at that point, like with anything, like with teaching any study, you teach and you pray and you trust the Holy Spirit, you know.
Yeah.
The Word of God is a seed, and it gets planted, and sometimes it hits good soil, you know. And I understand that we are, like I said at the beginning, we wrote this to fit our church. Because we have, on a Sunday morning, 3 4-year-old rooms. We have 2 first-grade rooms, 2 second-grade rooms. We have enough kids to have a split 2-year-old room and a split 3-year-old room. And because of that, we needed this kind of scope. Now, you can still take this material and go through it over time with a group of kids who might be in this bracket. And maybe there's a kid who comes up and they get, you know, as a third grader, they get what the fourth graders were getting the year before, but they'll catch it on the other way around.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you kind of just at that point, hey, Lord, you've got it, you know.
Absolutely.
But I would also say again, this is available and free online.
Yeah.
So if you take it and you're looking through it and you go, oh, this is great for this group of kids, but I'm going to need to add something because I've got these kids here as well. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Take it, make it, and use it. Yeah. So we can take a look at the studies themselves.
What made you decide 4-year-olds? We do. I thought I was coming in here to get my curriculum for high school, but I also teach 3, 4, 5-year-olds once a month at our Super Sunday at Catholic Test Conference.
Yeah.
What made you decide 4-year-olds?
So, because we have so many kids, we have a 3-year-old room, we have 3 4-year-old rooms, we have 3 kindergarten rooms. And so, yeah, we just broke it down. We've got these kids and we're going to have these kids as 4-year-olds. Let's give them something. And if we've given them this when they get to kindergarten, we can give them this instead. And it builds.
But I write mine, since I only do it once a month for Sunday. I take my lessons and write them into a puppet show. My granddaughter and another kid do the puppets for
them.
And this is adaptable that way.
Yeah, sure.
But I just wondered why you started with 4, because I use the same material for my 3-year-olds.
Yeah, so we do have a 2- and 3-year-old study, but it's really a lot more.
Basically.
They've been playing toys. We come and gather in a circle. We talk through a story of the scriptures. Maybe we're using the magic flannel graph, right? Maybe we're doing something fun. And then we just said, no, 4-year-olds is when we're going to start through the program.
Yeah.
Yep. And again, not all 3-year-olds are potty trained.
Right. Yeah.
But in general, but not all 3-year-olds are potty trained. And so that was kind of our break. We said by the time they're 4-year-olds, they're basically potty trained, and so we kind of used those as our breakpoints. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. We do something called Kids Club for our 4-year-olds through second graders, where they start off in their classroom and then they all go together to a big room. It's the drama room for the school. There's a stage, there's a whole thing. And they do, one of the grades will stay, they'll do worship there. They all do worship there. And then one of the grades will stay and have their Bible study acted out with, and they'll have puppets and they have different things. So we kind of rotate through that. So they get a little bit of that as well.
So you just have a set time for worship and they all go?
Yeah, and they all come up together.
What about, I don't see any craft or activities.
Yeah.
That's
So we have someone on staff at church who comes up with all the craft stuff. I am not a crafty person. It's not my world. A lot of that stuff, just honestly, is stuff that is copyrighted material. It's stuff that I couldn't put in a packet and hand out to people because I don't own it. It's not our stuff. Because a lot of you guys know, if you do any crafty stuff, you go straight to Pinterest, right? Or you go straight to Pinterest and you're like looking for craft ideas on Jonah. And it's like, boom, here's seven things. So those kind of things, in all honesty, those are the things that are easy to find.
Yeah, so you just rely on that person to do your crafts.
Yeah, so they organize those crafts. Yep. And if I was in a smaller setting and I had someone who was sort of an assistant person, I might be saying to them, hey, can you come up with the craft for this, you know?
And then you prepare the craft and you just give it to them. You don't put it in your online or your thing.
We don't put it online yet. We just have it prepared in the classroom for the kids. Yep. We have a few things like crossword puzzles and those kind of things, you know, that occupy kids at the beginning while they're waiting for everyone to come in. And again, a lot of that stuff is copyrighted material, but you can find that online real easy. And so in terms of just Bible study stuff, like the actual curriculum, that's really what we have here.
Okay,
that's really what we're looking at.
And activities, your teachers come up with that?
Like games, but oftentimes, so if we take a look at the study, I just pulled one at random here, the Red Sea. This is how it looks out, and you have a different one in front of you. But it's broken down this way. So it starts with the objective. The objective is to make sure that we're consistent across all of our different studies. So if I give this to three different teachers, they're going to teach the story of the Red Sea a little differently, because the Holy Spirit's going to work through their personality. They're going to see something a little bit different in the passage that's going to grip them a little bit more. But we want them to teach something specific from this passage. There is a big idea in this that we want them to hit. So we make sure we give them the objective. So to show the fulfillment of God's promise to redeem the Israelites out of Egypt. Secondarily, to show that the Israelites' salvation at the Red Sea mirrors our own salvation experience. So if you have sort of that in your mind as you're teaching, we're all going to be at least teaching the same kind of study. So if we have three rooms, what did you study? We studied the Red Sea. What did you get out of that? We all kind of got mostly the same direction. Key verses that will be used through the study are all included at the beginning, so you don't have to go looking through the study to find them. They're just right there. And then we have our memory verse. For third through fifth graders, our memory verse is probably a little bit longer, maybe a little bit more demanding. And then we start with this acronym that I learned when I was in Bible college, Hook, Book, Look, Took. So hook is, what's the thing that gets everyone into the study? What's the hook? Oftentimes, it's a big question. Sometimes it might be a game, or it might be a little activity. It might be, I've hidden a coin somewhere in the room. I will be really excited if everyone can find it for me. Can you guys help me find the coin? Boom, everyone's up, everyone's looking for the coin. We're doing the story of the you know, the widow with the lost coin. Okay? They find the lost coin, they bring it in. Oh, I'm so excited. Now, guys, did you know there's a story about this in the Bible? And we're into our study, right? So it's that first initial, we've all been waiting for people to gather, maybe we've had worship, but the hook is, we're transitioning to Bible time now. How can we get everyone engaged into it? So, and for third through fifth grade, it's often just a big question. Hey, has anyone here been baptized? What happened when you got baptized? Did the water bubble and turn green? Did angels sing above you when you were baptized? No? What happened? Right? And then, okay, now we're in it. We're talking about, you know, kind of going through. Book. What does the Bible say? This is the pretty obvious one. What does the Bible say? This is where we read the passage or the series of passages and we start to talk through them. And then, obviously, the study kind of goes through that. Look is our interpretation and our exegesis of the passage. It's the, what does this actually look like in our lives? How does this apply to me? Okay? And then took, what is my response to the passage? How should my life change according to this information? So this is where we have our memory verse. and we have a little maybe challenge that we give to the kids for this week. Think about this. Pray for someone in your family who doesn't know Jesus. Write down all the ways God has been faithful to you over the last year. And we also have something that we do every week, which is called the family question. And it's the kids to ask their parents. So, parent comes and picks up their kid. And they say, what'd you learn in Sunday school? And the kid says, Jesus. Right? So this is something we hand it to the kids. I mean, really, it probably gets handed to the parents. But it's designed for the kids to start a conversation with the parents in the car on the way home.
Is it like a slip of paper?
It's a little slip of paper, a little card, you know. Yep, it's a little piece of like cardboard, thicker cardboard that just, yeah, just on. And we print it off, we hand it to them. And so the idea is it starts a conversation with the parents, but it also gives the parents a bit of a clue where they were probably studying from in the Bible. And then we were very graciously allowed by David Guzik to include his Enduring Word study. So that's just at the end of every study, which you can go online and get this yourself. That's all of his stuff is there. But for the person, like I said, who has a bit of time on their hand and wants to go and read, you know, through a commentary on it and have all of that information, you know, here's that material. So we often tell our people, hey, remember to only print out the first 4 pages because sometimes 11 pages of material there and you don't want to print it all out because it's all there. So I've got 10 minutes left. I wanted to make sure I had time for questions. If anyone has any questions, I am more than happy to answer them.
This is not your Wednesday evening.
That's not our Wednesday evening. Our Wednesday evening is a little different. Wednesday evening, you would have to ask the Chris's, Chris Clark, who led worship, exactly what they're doing at the moment. But they're going through sections on the Old Testament on Wednesday night and sections on the New Testament on Sunday night. Sunday nights and Wednesday nights are very small attendance.
Okay. Yeah,
it's a lot smaller. So especially Sunday night, it might be one room of kids.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Sunday morning we might have.
On Sunday night then, where
yeah, where and we'll split.
Yeah.
You know, but they're all doing the same study. Even the where we split, they're still doing the same material in each of the rooms. Yep.
So online, you have fourth grade, and then kindergarten or fourth grade then. Four-year-olds, and then five-year-olds, and then kindergarten.
Yeah, so we have.
You have it all broken down. That's great.
It's all broken down.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I can easily adapt that. I thought I was coming here for my high school, but I have my puppets come out fighting over who gave me the best birthday gift.
Yeah.
And then we talk about, oh, well, now you don't have to apply. But that reminds me of the Bible story, so it follows the book.
Yeah.
So I can take these and adapt them. Thank you.
You could probably take the third through fifth grade curriculum, and you could probably adapt it to a high school age level. I mean, even just using the scope and sequence, not even necessarily using the material itself, but just saying, well, here's a roadmap, right? Here's a roadmap of where I go next and what I do the week after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's at least that's a pathway through the forest.
Because I'm in a hybrid homeschool where we have neurodivergent. We deal with kids that. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Up on. So we have kids that are autistic and bright kids that are ADHD and all that sort of thing. And so that would be perfect. But that's what I thought I was coming in here for. But this is going to work on my puppet shows. It's part of my
little. Look, I'm glad. Like I said, look,
you
have a curriculum that you're using at your church and you love it. Use it. I'm really not trying to say that. You know, if you use Answers in Genesis, great. Use Answers in Genesis. If you use the Gospel Project, Answers in Genesis is really, really thorough. It's very, very thorough.
I think it's dry.
Look.
We do library though.
I know.
So I think it's really, really good for, you know, Genesis 1 through 11.
Yeah.
I, you know, I don't.
Through the Bible, you really are.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So
like
the that's what we like here is And again, I'm not talking badly about any other curriculum. All the curriculums, they've done incredible work, and we're heading out to the Ark on Friday.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right? We're going out. We're going to see their whole thing. But I like that idea of, we know all our kids are going to go through this material.
Yes.
And they're going to build from year to year to year as they go through. And that way it's just going to be really targeted for each of the different age groups and age levels.
You know? Mm-hmm. So when we go online, are they all already predated?
No. I just actually pulled out. If you go to this week's lessons, these are the ones. Yeah. And so those ones there, I actually grabbed. Thank you, Marissa. Those ones there, if you go back down where the church is, church sanctuary is a big donut hallway around it. In the back hallway is the children's ministry. And there's some racks on the wall. And they're actually, these ones are printed out. And for people who maybe don't have a printer, we print them out, we put them in those racks, and they can come and grab them. And so there's 2 weeks' worth. There's this week's and next week's.
For the teachers,
they can come and they can grab them. So I just literally grabbed those ones off the racks and then printed a bunch out on the photocopier for you guys to have. So, yeah, so they're not all individually dated. Those are added on when we need them.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Let me pray for you guys. It's a lot of work. But look, can I tell you, we have people who call up all the time. And there's a number of different places that use it. I know there's a lot of missionaries around the world who are using it because they don't have the finances to, pay for a curriculum. But we have people call up and they'll call us and they'll go, "Hi, yeah, look. We're looking at curriculum online and we're looking at these lessons, but we don't see where we were supposed to pay for it." I was like, "Yeah. That's why you can read it, because it's like..." But yes, people are just expect it to be something, and it's not... It's not... Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have it in Spanish?
No. We don't have it in Spanish. Yeah, ChatGPT. Copy and paste. Cross your fingers and hope. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean,
what he's working on now.
AI
out there for a teaching model that you can plug it into.
Yeah.
Download the documents, they turn this into Spanish.
Spanish, Portuguese, whatever. Yeah, it'll just do it. So.
That's how she makes a lot of the coloring pages, Word, she'll use Canva, and it'll just generate a lot of that stuff
yep.
for you. So,
yep.
Make me a coloring page or a word search.
Yep. Yeah. One thing I don't want to use AI for is, what does the Bible tell me?
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Happy to use AI for, we used it when we did a mission trip to Guatemala with 8th grade, and make me a craft that looks like this. And it printed me out a coloring sheet with a kid and a cross behind it and a crown representing God, and I was like, done, easy, great. I don't want AI saying, "This is what John said in in John chapter 3. I don't want that. So, yeah. Let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just really want to thank you and praise you that, Lord, there are people all over the country who are teaching little people the Word of God. And we praise you for that. That's an incredible thing. And so, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that if this would be a resource and would be a blessing to anyone, I pray, Lord, that that's what it would be. So, Lord, we just want your word to be magnified, and we want your people to know you, and we want you to be lifted up and you to receive all the glory and all the honor. So, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would do that work of teaching, because you're the great teacher. And we pray that in your name. Amen.